Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm Delia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about deadbeat moms.
Okay.
Oh, man. If you're not doing so already, please be sure to follow us across all of our social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. Actually, yeah, social media. And you can listen to us on your favorite podcast platforms.
Yes.
Including
Alexa.
And you can watch the shenanigans
on YouTube. We are on there.
Yes. Thank you to the people listening in 28 countries around the world.
What?
That's the number as of today that we are filming this episode. And we are very, very grateful to you and your support. Head on over to the comment sections, though, on YouTube so we can help boost that
algorithm. And like, subscribe. If you like what we have to say, like. If you want to subscribe, subscribe. And we appreciate every subscriber because we're trying to grow our following. So.
And if you don't like it, keep it to yourself. Because
Or put on the comments.
Yeah. Boost the algorithm. Let's go.
Let's go. Vamos.
All right. Let's get into it. So we're going to be talking about deadbeat moms. And what is your... So what I picture when I hear deadbeat mom, it's like the mom...
Someone beating the kid?
No. But like
literally.
I do picture the moms that are like, I met a guy. Like they broke up. They're divorced. I met a new man, and I'm moving out of state, and now the babies are going to go to the dad.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the many stories.
And like, men do that all the time,
too. Oh, no, for sure. But it's different because I always say, like, if you should get pregnant, the responsibility, the moment you find out that you're pregnant, it is your job and duty to take care of yourself because you have someone else relying on you. So since before the kid is even out the womb, you are already caring for that child. At least if you're a great mom or if you're wanting to have this child and you love this kid already, that is what you're supposed to be doing as a female.
It's already like depending on you.
It's already part of, it's integrated in who you are as a female, as a human being, as a person that's bringing another human being into this world. That human being is using you as their portal into this lifetime.
We grow the humans, ladies.
And they come out of the portals.
Yeah,
and so it sounds so weird, but like I always say that. They're like, how do you even like correlate? And I'm like, it's true. Like it's either the portal is a zipper or down there. And so my point to that is this. So you already start to care for this baby, okay? And then all of a sudden you meet this dude, because this happened. I know my old colleague, by the way.
Okay, that's a colleague.
Okay, my old colleague was dating a girl that he then proposes to her.
Hmm.
Okay, so he proposes to her. Everything's good and dandy. She has three kids. Here are the ages. Ages like 17,
okay,
like 11, and 8 years old. So he's cool with her because she's not bringing all those kids with her. Dad has those kids. And she said that she got married young at the age of 17. And Rachel, you got married at the age of 17. I know you. And I'm not bashing her. This isn't like, let's bash her. But it's really strange. Now, I'm not in her head. I don't know why she would do it. But I'm like, what possesses a female to just up and leave her entire package with the ex? And just say, you know what, here's the kids. She's jet setting to Europe, jet setting to Asia, jet setting to everywhere in the world. And she says, no, this is my time to shine. And so I was trying to get myself out of my thought processes and my own like, you know, judgments. And I'm like, okay, but what is that? Like, what is it? Because I've heard about it a lot.
I think in that, listen, like you said, you've known me. Like, I was a teen mom. You know, I was married as a teenager. And I know a lot of women were teen moms and didn't get married. The guy left. And there's all these different scenarios, okay?
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, for me, I know there's so many opportunities that I didn't take.
Right.
Because of my kids. Because I genuinely was like, I can't go out like that with these boys.
Right.
And so there was always, you know, some people have God in their journey that there's like a higher power and they can't do it because of that. I genuinely, the first sort of life, chapter of my life was my kids. It was like, I just can't because of my kids. Not because I don't have anybody to babysit them. No. Literally, I've just
my heart. You were doing this for your children.
My heart,
it wasn't even about anything but just like being there for them.
No matter how miserable moments were in my marriage or whatever, this, I always made chicken salad out of chicken shit, as they say, for my kids. And so not everybody has that. So I think it's a level of selfishness that I probably should have had more selfishness for myself, honestly.
Yeah.
But I think some women really are just, it's them.
It's
all
about
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I also, you know, I remember another story because I am Mother Goose, remember? There's another story.
She leaves here, and I don't know where she goes. I'm like, just where like,
What did you say? She did what? No. Yeah. So this particular story for me, and like these are people that I know, like through third degree, like through just like someone said this about this person, right? And this particular person, by the way, like had a younger daughter. Okay, like maybe 6 years old. Her daughter was like my daughter's age. And at the time, you know, I don't know what she was going through, so I do not want to judge that. However, she was such a drunken alcoholic that the little girl would have to learn how to fend for herself. Now, there's different types of deadbeat moms, by the way. There's the kind that I just described that just left the package with, you know, the ex-husband is like, here, take care of the kids because I'm going to be doing life. And then there's the kind that just leave the kid by herself and they're being selfish. This is a different type of selfishness, in my opinion. Yeah. Because they're not letting the little girl either be with dad or they're not finding someone that can be responsible. Meanwhile, she's being irresponsible by being drunk. Yeah. And I get it. Like, I've jet-setted. I've gone to parties. I've dated people and whatever. And I'm not trying to just, like, talk smack about people or say anything. And I'm not doing that. But I'm saying is I always made sure that my kids were in a safe environment with safe people and everything was good. I'm not driving them drunk. I'm not doing any of those things. Yeah. Like if I was going to be at a place, I was going to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to drink alcohol if I'm driving my kids or if I'm driving, period.
Right.
So I think that's important. And there's different levels of deadbeat moms, by the way. It's not always about money or of them just leaving them.
It's true. And sometimes it even translates in the career world. You know, I was a career woman. I didn't really have much of a choice in that area. I always say if I had a choice, I would have for sure 1,000% been an at-home mom and just been all in on that role. I'm very grateful, though, that I am a career woman because obviously the marriage ended and I'm able to sort of like navigate my own life and stuff like that and everything. And so I think at the end of the day, though, there's a lot of women that throw themselves into their, oh, I got to go to college and like, or I got to go to work and it's like my career. And the truth is they'd rather have the responsibilities of the corporate American workplace than the responsibilities of mommy and wife and dishes and dinner and, you know what I mean? Like, they're not as domestic, you know? And I think that back in the day with our grandparents, it was just a gender role to be domestic. But if now women, we have a choice to be domestic or not. And I think a lot of women are choosing that they're just not domestic. It's not for them. To the sort of detriment to, I think, American families and a lot of families, and also to the children that are, like you say, being left alone or always with the babysitter or whatever the case. But I do see, because I am a businesswoman, a lot of women would rather lean into that whole world instead of really taking into account what the child's needs are.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, but I think the differences between the era that you're talking about versus the era today is that those eras were the men were looked at. They were there to protect. You could
trust them.
I don't think that you can necessarily trust them. But
they're a little more reliable kind of,
A little bit more reliable. And the thing is that they were there to protect and provide. And so, you know, there again, I always go back to social media, right? There wasn't social media. And whatever was directly around them is what they directly messed with, if they did. And so you may catch wind of it, but it wasn't like, it wasn't in your face like it is like nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think nowadays, you know, the grandmas, great-grandmas and the moms are saying, get an education, don't be like me. Get an education, don't be like grandma. Get an education because you know what? You can't be relying on a man. And so I think that the newer generation are being conditioned to say, no, you got to go out to corporate America. You got to do this, that, or the other. If a husband's actually being a provider and a protector, in my opinion only, I feel as if the women that are business women are looking down at those women that are at home with their kids.
True.
Like, what do you do for a living? Oh, you're at home with the kids. And that's kind of frowned upon. So now,
it's the jealousy thing. We've talked about
possibly,
this in the past.
True.
You know, when people act like they wouldn't dare like have what you have. Like, I don't even want that.
Yeah.
They've convinced themselves to not want it because they're actually jealous.
So they
can't
want
have it.
It.
And they actually want it.
It's like the famous when this always has happened, right? I've seen this. When they're like, let me see a ring. Oh, yeah, that's too big.
Yeah.
I could never wear such a big ring. You're like, bitch, place. Like, if you could have it, you could get a bigger one. Exactly. Like, just stop. Like, because your broke-ass significant other can't buy it for you. Like, there's no need for that. But, you know, I think that with going back to what we're saying with Hugh and saying, like, corporate America and the women are choosing to go out and working, yes, because we are now, we are raising our generation. These little girls
I don't mean go out and work like you're 8 to 5. Like, that what I have seen is that they'll choose to, like, stay the extra hours and to do, like, all the overtime. Things. And, like, and they're, okay, I'll take that trip. And, like, you know, because they'd rather lean in there, probably because they're not as domestic. They don't want to go home and deal with the stuff. Yep. And so there's a lot of kids that are being sort of kind of left behind because mom's really pursuing her career. It was happening in the 80s and the 90s. Yeah. Like, I'm a Gen Xer, and that was the first generation of kids that the moms were they're really coming into their own professionally. So a lot of us had literal keys on a yarn around our neck, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, I don't sit there going, I don't feel damaged or anything. Yeah. I talk about this, like, I feel like I had a great childhood, and there was lonely times at it, right, because of it or whatever. But nowadays, it's almost like the mothers will leave their kids behind for stardom, for this. There's so many things that they're just like, the kids are not the priority, and they themselves are the priority. And I wonder how much of it was like in the 90s, because again, I come from the magazine industry. So in the 90s and beyond, there was this narrative of like women learning to love thyself. It was like, love yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody.
Yeah.
There was a huge movement for women to love themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like 20 years later, we're seeing kind of the
like
outcome
what's
of that.
Like what's happened with that.
What that actually
It's like
means.
You can't love anyone because you don't love yourself.
Remember
I'm
that?
Like, well, let me hug myself. Do I not?
Yeah.
Like, I do. Like, I love myself. Like, what are they talking
about?
So
now the love to yourself is like, you'll do everything to keep yourself in line. You'll buy yourself the best. Like, let's just say health foods. You give your meal prep and you do not, but what are your kids eating? Mm-hmm. So that's an example of it's you, but what
they're
about
eating,
them?
They're eating cereal or they're eating, you know, Pop-Tarts or whatever, all sugar and stuff. You know, I think that it can go both ways too. And then there's also the women, by the way, that are deadbeats, as in, like, they'll also, like, say, for instance, they go through a bad breakup or a marriage, okay? And then all of a sudden they're taking it out on the kids.
Yes.
And that to me is, like, so sad. Like, if you understand that things didn't work out between you and your partner, there is no reason why then those kids have to suffer too. Because they're suffering because now the parents aren't together, or maybe, you know, they've met 3-4 guys that they call daddy that aren't daddy. And then all of a sudden, because the last daddy didn't work out, now you have a few kids with a couple guys, then all of a sudden you want to take it out on the kids and they want to, you know, whip their butts. And I've seen that too, and that's so sad to me because it's like, How are you gonna protect these little people? That's what
I
call them. And then instead of protecting them, you're just like they're in your way because
it's like
you're
a
looking
burden
for the next person.
Yes, yes. And you know, I see this. I've been seeing this over the years with women that had a baby with a guy that to kind of lock him down, and then they didn't get to really lock him down, so to speak, and now that kid is like, oh, it's so, you know what I mean? Like, oh, his dad, like, da, da, da. It's almost like that kid, like, they didn't really want to be moms. They just wanted the guy so bad.
Or they
that
wanted
they had
the guy's
the kid
money.
Or whatever to have the kid. And, like, but now the guy's gone. So it's like the kid's like, oh, just get over there. Yo, just be quiet. Like, it's like this whole energy towards the kid. And then because now they have the new guy. And then now they're going to have that guy's baby.
Right.
And now that seems promising. And then next thing you know, that baby comes. And, oh, it's the baby. And then, oh, you go over there.
Yeah.
Like, or drop him off to his dad's. Or, like, here, have his grandma from the dad's side take care of it. And it just seems like this energy that is very selfish in the mom, like even having kids is very like selfish for the reasoning why they're having it, the kids. So we've seen all kinds of different layers of this.
Yeah, like I'll even take it to people that you may know out there in like media, right? Because these are stories of people that I know kind of personally, right? That have gone through this. But, like, I always wonder and question and think, like, for instance, Britney Spears, right? And I don't want to be so, like, forward about this, but, like, what in those kids, because, see, the kids make a decision, too, because there's moments where they're, like, it's just more peaceful with dad because she's batshit, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that to be true. I've never lived with her. I've never even had a conversation with her. I don't know what she's about, but... My point is the kids kind of don't want nothing to do with her. And, you know, she got married and, like, the kids didn't even want to go to the wedding. And I just think it's so sad because sometimes I think that you don't really realize how important it is, like, to step into your mother role. And we're never going to get it right, by the way. And there is, they always say there is no book. There is no handbook. There is a handbook on how to, you know, the refrigerator, everything. How to set it up, manuals, like the for microwave, everything. There's everything. I mean, there's instructions for everything that you do. There's YouTubes, you name it. Yes, there are therapists out there, one is going to teach you literally how, because every human being has its own personality. Yes. And I think at the end of the day, like going back to Britney Spears, that always trips me out because I'm like, what happened there? Like, why do those kids want nothing to do with her?
I think, you know, it's so sad to me. I mean, I was a fan, you know, of hers.
And I've seen still her am. Perfect in person. I love her music.
I mean, Instagram's looking kind of crazy. You know, yeah, her account is like, crazy. I don't really know.
I always hold on. I have to say this, though, because my sister and I say sending each other messages. Her, like, does she not wash her eyes? Because she always has this black eyeliner. And, like, and I'm like, is that fresh? Does she smudge it? Like, it's really strange. And I am a fan of hers because I do love her music and I do love all that stuff. But when she does that look, crazy. I'm like, wow, what is that?
Okay, so on Britney Conspiracy, I'll see your smear mascara and raise you a, I don't think she knows she's being recorded. I think she's looking in a mirror. She's a dancer. Okay. And I think she's dancing in a mirror and someone's recording that. There's a lot of what you see and the way she's doing it and everything. It's almost like this is her therapy. Like, I feel like there's a mirror. It might be in the walkway of her house because you can see her living room in the back on the old house and stuff like that. I think there's a camera behind the mirror.
But I think with everything that happened, and I don't want to make this about Britney Spears, but I think with the Free Britney movement, I think that if she knew that that was really actually happening, I want to say that she'd cry foul on that, though.
But I'm saying, I don't think she realizes she's being recorded when she's dancing.
When she's dancing,
in front of the
mirror. I don't know. I think she's a weird energy. I really, in my opinion, feel like she's. I don't know. Anyway, my point is,
but you know, on the kids, really quick. I just really think this. Look, when you are a child and you see that the one parent has issues. And then the other parent takes on the role of having less issues, okay? Because both of those parents are on some other stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And so then, okay, we're going to be with dad. Sometimes, in most cases, I'm going to be with mom, and dad has more issues than mom. The children tend to take the side of the parent that basically took custody of them or is putting the roof over their heads or whatever the case is. And the kids start to take on the energy of that parent, and so they tend to be team whoever that parent is. So let's just say team mom, or in their case team Kevin.
Dad,
okay, and so they take on the energy, and when they hear mom complaining about dad, the kids are like, yeah, because they want to be agreeable with the parent they live with. And so there's a bunch of you moms right now that think that your kids are on your side because they see how crazy the dad is. The kid just doesn't want to break your heart and tell you, I miss dad, I love dad, I think dad was right here and I think you were wrong here. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of that energy going on.
But here's my devil's advocate side, okay? Because of course, you know, it's in there. Like, so here's my question.
Yeah.
So what if he's playing his cards right, meaning Kevin Federline?
Yeah.
From my understanding, it's $60,000 a month. He already knows if I am just super dad, I'm going to get paid 60 G's. And so he is going to cash that check to the month to the bank. He's going
to
be there every
he
first of the month.
He has to make her look
And
unfit.
So he has to freaking bash her and be like, look it, she's drunk, her eye mascara,
whatever his motivation, we all know it's money, right?
But
at the end of the day, you know, there's housekeepers that have come forward. Not to make this whole episode about them, we're using it as an example that there's literal candy and ants and bugs in on the sofas because there's so much junk, like, that it's in chaos. And now, don't sue us. I don't know. It's all hearsay. And opinion, but what I'm getting at is it's not even that he's super dad, right? But there is a motivation on the parent that's receiving the checks to keep facade that person is so messed up, mm-hmm. you know, or this is what they're supposed to be doing, the gaslighting mm-hmm. thing. And the children will be impressed upon that this is truth, right?
Right.
And so even if they do still love their parent, even the reason I'm saying this is, like, I'm a daughter of a person who was, like, an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And with alcoholism, it's a big thing. You'll have the parent that isn't an alcoholic really impressing upon the kids how annoying it is about the smell, the breath, the this and that. Oh, look, he's tripping. Oh, look at how he's talking. Like, he must be drunk. And so then the kid comes up with this this disdain,
yeah, right,
you know, for that parent or the parent's behavior in those moments. And so what I'm getting at is that can happen where now the one parent is kind of seeming like a deadbeat. Now you can say, is then the mom the deadbeat in that case? Because the mom's manipulating. I'm not saying all moms, by the way, are manipulating.
Yeah,
I think a lot of women are really frustrating in those situations.
Right.
And they trust their kids to vent and to and all these. But it complicates it.
It does.
Because now the kid grows up with a disdain for that parent. And then now you've created a wedge between a child and their parent.
Because of what you say.
You know what I mean? And it might be inadvertently. But there's a lot of people doing it on purpose, too.
There's a lot of people that do it on purpose. And there's a lot of people that will literally purposely be like, do you see what he's doing? Do you see how he does? Do you see how she does this? Do you see, oh, there she is. She's drunk again. That's why she's acting this way. And
yes.
And so there's a lot of that. And I understand that. So I think that at the end of the day, you shouldn't use your kids as sounding boards to talk about the other parent and say, oh, well, your mom's an alcoholic. That's why I have you. Or your dad's a crackhead.
Yeah.
Or your mom's a crackhead. Because that does happen, too, by the way. And I think there's nothing worse, because I've met a few women in my life where the mothers were unfit. They were on drugs, left the kids at hotel rooms. Girls got raped. They were under this stuff. You know, and if you understand that you have an issue, and it's really hard because a lot of times when they have an issue, they don't realize that they have an issue.
Yeah.
And it's not until they really want, when they hit rock bottom, as they say, is when they want to go seek help. But I think sometimes it's too late for those kids because now they've been raped, they've been molested, they've been out in the elements of the world, and they've been exposed. And I think that there's nothing worse than that. And if you are unfit, and if you feel that there are, you're having these tendencies because maybe you're going through a divorce or you're going through a breakup, and you sometimes need to recalibrate, and maybe it's the drinking. And sometimes it's okay as long as you can catch yourself back up and say, okay, I will drink on a Saturday night, Friday night when kids are with
dad. Yeah.
Or when kids are in a safe environment.
Yes.
I'm not just going to go get shit-faced and then leave my kids at a hotel room.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You have to really take into consideration these little humans need guidance.
You know, the other thing too, and we could probably talk about this on another episode coming up, but another thing that stands out to me, and I don't know if this would make a mother a deadbeat mom because that's what we're talking about, but one of the things that I see that I'm always like, kind of cringy, and then you see it on social media, TikTok videos, and people venting and complaining, is when a mom is, she left the dad, divorced, now she has a kid, maybe the dad moved on with another family, or is dating, or whatever, and now the mom is like, oh, he took her there, but why doesn't take you there? Oh, he bought her that, boy, for her kids, like, why, did you see that? He bought her kids that, but what is he buying for you? He won't even buy you school clothes. Like, I think as a mom, to amplify what they are not, why your kid isn't getting something from a parent, can be very damaging, ladies. I know why it's happening because you're frustrated for your kid. We, as moms, that's not okay. Like, I saw a video where the dad took the girl's kids to Disneyland, and his own daughter is of that little kid age is on social media and saw that they were at Disneyland, and the mom was livid, and she went on TikTok and was like, why would he take her and her kids to Disneyland and my daughter's right here? He didn't even like reach out to my daughter to take her. And there was a whole argument in the comment section. But what I'm getting at is like if you're a mom, if you can help it, as frustrated as it, don't point those things out. You're only making you're like literally oppressing your child. Like your child doesn't need to be reminded that they're not good enough to get whatever from their father.
Right.
And I think that like we all have done it. We're all guilty of it if you're going through a divorce or something like that. And I wanted to kind of put that on the table. We could talk about it on the next one coming up. But I just want to say that too. It doesn't mean, are you a deadbeat mom because you're doing, but are you causing more harm than good?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the time, I don't know that people really think about how it's going to make the child feel. It's like, you're just trying to, in your opinion, you think that you're bashing dad and then they're going to like hate dad because sometimes they want to build that barrier between the parents, right? And so I think there's nothing worse than just saying, well, maybe next time let him know that you would love to go, or maybe he can do it on one-on-one with you. we understand that when families are broken, things shift. It's so things different. Change. Yeah. Nothing's going to be the same. And I always say, if you leave someone, it's life-changing. If you stay with someone, it's life-changing. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do. If you decide to stay with someone, it's going to change their life and your life. And if you leave, it's the same thing. So the decisions that we make literally are a domino effect of all things for your kids, for your family, for yourself. It doesn't matter. And so I think that we have to be a little bit more methodical when we open up our mouth, because it's so easy just to be like, oh, saying this, saying that. And you will forget those words, by the way. You will forget them, but they will live in those little kids for a lifetime. They will
remember how that made them feel. For a lifetime.
And so that's the hard part. So,
and a lot of us are doing it. A lot of you, a lot of us, you know, have done it because we are frustrated on behalf of the kid, you know, because we want the people to step up for our kids. You know, we want them to do right by our kids. And so we feel slighted for our kids. But if they're not really aware of that, and that's not how they felt to begin with, why amplify that, you know?
Why bring it up? Yeah. Why bring it up? Like, I think you have to be a little bit more methodical and just be like, okay, if I say this, nothing good's going to come out of this. So I'm just going to say, well, hope they have a good time. I don't know. Because if you bash it and if you bash them, it's only going to make you look bad. And that's just going to live with that little kid forever, that he was not good enough to go to Disneyland with their dad and the two stepkids that all of a sudden dad's like number one kids. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, just really think about what comes out of your mouth. And, you know, and if you're going through it, and if you're literally going through a divorce and you're going through a breakup or you're going through anything, just make sure that you are always aware of how you're kind of showing up. And if
they're
if
like Alexa, they're listening and learning and their watching. Little lights are on. They're like scanning the room.
Yeah, and I really do believe that we all go through it, especially when you're, you know, going through a breakup. And so if drinking and partying is what you want to do to get out there, do it safely.
On your and when it's not your weekend. Keep in mind
with that your kids are safe.
So before we end it, I want to ask one little thing before, because we're talking about deadbeat moms.
Yeah.
Would you classify a woman as a deadbeat mom who the guy has not paid child support, so she says the kids can't go see him?
Hell to the yes.
And that is it, ladies
Hell
and
to the yes. No, you can't even say no.
I agree.
No.
I'm okay, bye.
I know. Now that you say that, I know somebody. Wait.
Oh, okay. Oh,
no, wait. And I know this person personally, by the way, like personally, like a degree away. And let me tell you something. And I'm sorry, but you brought this up and this just triggered me. Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, this particular person wants to be in this little child's life so bad that every time it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, his birthday, whatever it is, this person's like, he's not used to being around you. He doesn't want, but she expects child support to be paid. She expects the insurance to be paid, new shoes, new this, new that. And instead of really, really pep talking her son to say, go with your dad. You know, she doesn't want him to go with dad. And I do consider that to be a deadbeat mom because she doesn't understand that when that little boy turns 15, 16 years old and he realizes that he didn't have a relationship with his father, it's going to be because of her. And so at the end of the day, right now you're winning. Yes, you are winning. At least you think you are. But in the end, he's going to lose and you're going to lose. And there's nothing good about that. In my opinion, I think that women shouldn't hold kids hostage based on child support, based on whatever it is, grudge you have against him. He did you wrong. He cheated on you. He whatever. Even if he beat you, if the kids aren't safe, don't let the kids go.
Obviously.
But if the kids are safe, that's their dad. Yes. Why are you doing that? And it frustrates me because this particular person, I've seen him in tears, literally crying because he can't have a relationship with his dad, with the kid, and they can't have a relationship. So, you know what? Sorry, Rachel, you triggered me.
We did that.
But I will tell you, I think that is definitely grounds for being a deadbeat mom if you're not allowing the dad to see the kids. Sorry.
If you're watching this and you're a deadbeat mom, cut the crap.
Cut the ish.
We love you anyways. Yeah, and we know that no one's perfect and you'll figure it out. But let's go, ladies.
I hope you do.
Let's do better.
Cheers. All right.
Cheers.